You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. Shout out to the crew at the Northside Bazaar down at the Laird. Make sure you go check it out. Lots of cool activities happening, lots of things to see, all for the Joy fundraiser. But it is now time for Checkpoint. My name is Luke. I am joined by Elliot.
Hi, Luke.
I'm joined by Cam.
Hi.
I'm joined by Edie.
Hello.
And we're here. Normally we do 2 hours on a Saturday from 2 till 4, but we've got a bit of a short show today because of the Northside Bazaar. I'm not salty about it. It's completely fine.
Yeah.
But we have so much cool stuff to get through today on the show. We have what's the news of the week, what's coming out over the next week. We are still reeling from a massive weekend at PAX Australia last weekend. We were there all 3 days. Hopefully you had a chance to come and say hello at the Checkpoint booth. But we want to talk about some of the really amazing things that we saw and some of the games that we played, because it really was an amazing showcase of some wonderful talent, particularly some of the indies coming out of Australia, which is super exciting. And with that in mind, we're not even going to do what's playing with yourself this week. What's playing with yourself?
That works.
Let's go with it.
What's with yourself?
We're in a hurry.
Explain this to me.
You have, like, not taken a breath yet.
I'll send you an image of what that looks like, Edie.
Oh, thanks. Just looking forward to it.
It's in the dark depths of Tumblr somewhere, if that was still running. But it's time for the news.
With the games industry changing so often, it can be hard to keep up.
So it's time to get updated with your weekly news checkpoint.
Oh, I can breathe now, you guys. It's fine. No worries. It was a massive week in news. Well, not massive, but there's some cool announcements that happened, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially in terms of the local scene.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we've had PAX, Melbourne International Games Week, that just kind of concluded, and we're in a bit of a recovery period. So it's cool to chat about some of the stuff that has come out of those events. For instance, the Australian Game Developers Award, they occurred during Melbourne International Games Week, during GCAP. And this is kind of an annual event where kind of, you know, a subset of the game development industry in Melbourne and kind of broader Australia as well are recognizing some excellence in game design coming out of these kind of Australian regions.
Yeah.
Last year, for instance, we saw The Gardens Between, a game that we absolutely adore,
amazing,
take home Game of the Year. So they're, you know, the Australian Game Developers Awards, they know how to pick them. They've done a really good job in the past. And this year, we've got all our winners that have been kind of, you know, flung out in front of us.
Yeah, and some of these are certainly not going to be surprises, that's for sure. Let's break down some of the winners that are happening, or that happened at the Australian Game Developer Awards. So looking at, for example, Best Art, this one went to a great sort of cel-shaded game called Void Bastards. Mm,
and you should look it up, because Void Bastards is a very, very good-looking game. It's reminiscent of comic books, hence the cel-shading.
Super stylistic.
Very stylistic.
It's the kind of game, when you shoot something, it actually shows the comic book kind of blam and kapow and stuff like that. It's really cool. And it's on Xbox Game Pass as well, so no excuse for not looking it up. A bit of a roguelike procedural-type game set in space, but yeah, really cool one there for sure.
Best gameplay. I went to a game called Jump Grid, which I played a bit of too, which is a really cool kind of rhythm-based, you know, high reflexes, kind of high difficulty style experience where you've got to, yeah, really be on the ball to make sure your kind of rhythm is in tune and you're not kind of destroying yourself on the kind of obstacles moving towards you and around you.
Yeah, and another one that was at PAX actually, The Black Widow won Best Narrative.
Yes, that was, this is one of the ones that I was very excited to see at PAX. It was a really good one just to watch.
You're interacting with a spirit via a Ouija board.
Yep.
A Ouija?
The last woman that was hung board. In New South Wales.
What was that, Cam?
It's the last woman that was hung in New South Wales. It's based on a true story.
Yeah, and they use her actual testimonials in the game.
Chilling.
And you have to, like, communicate with this ghost by asking them sort of vague questions and comments from the Ouija board. So it is a really cool one in terms of narrative, so congrats to them. Some other shout-outs. I mean, the big one, I guess you'd say, is Game of the Year, right?
Yeah.
And I think no surprises here as to which game has captured the hearts and imaginations of people all over the world. It also won Best Sound Design, but Game of the Year went to Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah, so we probably saw this one coming and it's totally deserved. I know at least two of us in this room have played Untitled Goose Game. Man, is it a riot.
It's real good.
Yeah, it's just silly and fun and it doesn't take itself seriously, but all the elements they tried to tackle, like the actual visual representation, the animation, the sound, sound is just phenomenal. It's so good.
Yeah, it is a great little game, that's for sure. And to see it come out of Australia, I think even during PAX, I saw they had someone playing Goose Game and cosplaying as a goose, and they were doing the actions of the goose in person while they were doing them in the game, which I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying it was there.
Yeah, I did see a good couple of goose cosplayers, actually.
Oh, they're everywhere. It was the cosplay du jour. You had the goose and you had the farmer.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, big congratulations. There's some other winners as well, but it was obviously a great year for Australian video games. I feel like at the moment, every year is a great year for Australian video games. We're seeing some fantastic things come out of the indie scene.
If only people would take notice.
But I think they are now.
Sometimes.
Well, yeah, that is the exciting thing this time around. Previous years, you know, we've been making some great stuff, but...
Dare I say, before we move on, like, if you look at, like, last year's winner, The Gardens Between, it took, first on stage at the Paris Games Week with Sony. Like, they put it on at the start of their presentation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, there's usually every year at the moment, there's one or two that are, like,
and
being flung to the masses.
I think the year before was Hollow Knight, potentially. Or was that a year before that?
No, that was Hollow Knight the year before, yep.
It does feel like, though, that every year there's kind of one big Aussie game that takes over the world. You know what I mean? There's always one that everyone's like, whoa, and it blows everyone away and does well overseas. I think it would be great, and maybe to your point, Edie, if more of these games that are so great, talent.
Yeah. There are so many. It's not just the one game that's great. It's one game gets all the attention because they have a particularly interesting premise, or it gets picked up just luckily by like a bigger media outlet from overseas.
Yeah.
But there is so much more, so many more fabulous Australian games. And this year, a lot of people are actually starting to take notice, like, hey, there's actually a lot of talent in Australia, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, you know, why we have some studios opening here now, like Sledgehammer, for example, opening in Australia, and, you know, again, this big focus on, you know, the esports scene as new venues opening as well. So I think people are starting to take notice.
Yeah. Shannon Knoll has a team.
Shannon Knoll? Actually, that's a big news story.
Knollsy now is the captain of an esports team.
Yeah.
Is this some garbage mobile game, though?
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. He was at PAX with his team. Like, they were walking around PAX. Did anyone see him?
No.
I would not be able to recognize Shannon Knoll if you pointed him out to me.
Yeah.
Just look for the Flavor Saver. That's...
still has it.
I'm sure he does.
Yep.
It's an icon.
It's good that he's not still just beating people in nightclubs, though. That's... It was in the news. I'm not doing anything wrong by calling it out, okay?
Topical.
Let's move on from that.
Let's move on to some more Aussie news before we get stuck into some other big international news. There was a game announcement and reveal last weekend at PAX. Actually, it was part of their big opening keynote. Chorus, an adventure musical, has been revealed as Summerfall Studios' first title. You'll recall we talked about Summerfall on the show a couple of weeks ago, headed by Liam Esler, who's been on the show a few times and has done some great work previously, along with David Gator, who is one of the ex-writers from BioWare, most notably, is a gay dude who's done some really cool gay writing on BioWare games, which we love.
A lot of Dragon Age. So
yeah.
Fenris, Dorian, all those kind of characters are his, like, babies.
Exactly. So basically headed up by two strong LGBTIQA+ voices. And now, yeah, they announced it. It's actually going to be a really interesting game. Already has some voice talent on board, such as Troy Baker and Laura Bailey, which is so exciting. I mean, I love Laura Bailey. Anything she does, I'm just like, incredible. And yeah, it looks to be quite interesting. They are looking for support currently on their Fig page. They have a $600,000 goal.
US.
Which is a lofty goal. But, I mean...
when you've got names like Troy Baker and Laura Bailey, they don't work for chips.
Here's my question. They are obviously both fantastic voice actors, but this is a musical. Are they good singers? I guess they have to be, right?
I know that Laura Bailey is. I've heard her sing before. Oh. I have not... Oh, and no. I have heard Troy Baker too, because he was in
Bioshock Infinite.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. He can sing.
Yeah. So, yeah,
they're
both good.
May the Circle Be Unbroken or whatever that song was. Yeah.
All right. That
you just end up with that thing where they get actors just to sing and it's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Like Sarah Michelle Gellar in the Buffy musical.
I was going to say like...
or Willow.
Willow.
Yeah, Alison Hannigan in the Buffy musical.
Alison Hannigan. Oof.
Yeah.
Talk that line, honey.
But look, I mean, it is a lofty goal, but they have already raised nearly $150,000 of that goal. Of course, you know, PAX was a big weekend for them. They announced it at PAX as part of the keynote. They were both in town, running around. So I think, you know, this is the kind of thing, though, where it's really important to support this Melbourne-based studio, talented people making unique games with unique perspectives.
Yeah, I don't know that we've had a musical adventure before. What, I don't know what that means quite, neither. But
have you seen the gameplay?
No.
So essentially, it's, you know, the musical's taking place, someone sings at your character, and then it's that kind of thing that BioWare's become known for, where there's the conversation wheel, and you choose what you sing back to them. And how you sing back to them also has different effects on it. You can be aggressive, you can be comical. But, like, you can sing something that's like, you know, get out of my face kind of thing.
Get out of my face!
Elliot, now coming to chorus.
Help me.
Yeah, it's that thing where you interact with the song and you change the song as it goes.
Yeah. That sounds very, very cool, and I am immediately on board.
Look, two gay guys running this, they know their audience.
I mean, there is a very sexy minotaur in this trailer, I'm just going to say. I know you keep worrying about me delving more into fairydom, but
it's happening. We're watching Luke's, like, spiral.
Notice there's no argument after butt. He just, accepts it.
Well, look, he's just wearing underwear.
None of us are standing against it either.
Yeah.
Looking at the chunky minotaur, Luke.
I kind of can't. But look, I mean, it looks like a great day. I mean, I'm excited to see more of it, of course, and talented people running this one. So if you want to jump onto FIG and support Chorus, an adventure musical, then you definitely should. The campaign is running up until November the 10th. So get on board and support a great local studio.
It has a cute logo.
Lots of cute things in this game, that's for sure. Here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. Got more news coming at you.
Here I go.
Did you know Checkpoint is also on social media? Follow us to find out all about the latest news as it happens, competitions, reviews, and connect with other gamers. Like us on Facebook, Checkpoint on Joy 94.9, or you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at CheckpointAU.
Yes, do all the social things. Like us, follow us, share us. And go through the news of the week here with Luke, Elliot, Cam and Edie. A special 1 hour edition of Checkpoint. Got half the time.
We're speedrunning.
Director's cut.
Go, go, go.
Same content.
Wait, so, director's cuts are longer.
Oh, yeah, right. Wait. Editor's cut.
Yeah, studio cut. Theatrical cut.
We have time for this banter, Cam.
I'm all banter all the time.
Oh, God. There was some other big news this week. Riot Games came with their 10-year anniversary for League of Legends, which in and of itself is a little bit scary. The League's been around for 10 years.
And still doing so well for itself.
And dominating.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It is crazy. And to celebrate, they announced a bunch of new games, which I don't think anyone was really expecting.
No.
No. I watched this stream, and you can hear the people, like, as we're watching it, being like, oh, they'll probably announce, like, a new map or something. And then they just drop the clip that has all these reveals, and people lost their mind.
Yeah. Now, Elliot, me and you were lucky enough at PAX to be in a super secret briefing.
Yeah.
So we got to actually hear about the first game they revealed, or the biggest one that's already ready to go, basically, Legends of Runeterra, a strategy card game in the same sort of vein as, like, Hearthstone and
Magic the Gathering,
things like that.
Elder Scrolls Legends.
Yeah, so we got to play it last weekend at PAX behind closed doors before they announced it. And, I mean, it's doing some things with the card game genre that I actually think are really cool. For example, I've been playing it over the last few days myself, and I really like that it's not based around buying random card packs.
Yeah, so they've done away with the whole kind of card pack element to trading card games, which is quite impressive because most people don't like microtransactions, but they kind of accept card packs because card packs are so... They've been, like, in like trading card games for ages, for absolute ages, so people just accept them. But Riot Games have obviously gone, you know what, we can maybe do a better system. And those who play League of Legends probably understand the system if you're ever engaged in the Hextech crafting side of League of Legends, where basically, you know, as you're playing, you'll get kind of unlocks for champions and stuff kind of randomly. You don't know what you're going to get, but then you can spend, like, in-game currency to kind of unlock them as permanent cards or permanent players and stuff like that. So there is still monetization. You know, this is still going to be a game. I'm assuming it's free to play, but then they charge players to kind of unlock stuff. But at least they're unlocking... They know what they're getting. Yeah. No random card pack purchases.
Yeah, this is a testament to how standard card packs have been throughout everyone's card playing careers. I'm sitting here like, then how do you get the cards? That's the only method I know how to get cards.
Do you know what? This is a testament to a company that started their life as free-to-play and has survived 10 years free-to-play. They know how to do this effectively.
Yeah, and the other thing about Runeterra that I really like is that it has this really cool attack and defense style for every single round. So whatever a player does, whether it's a spell or a character on the field to attack, the other player has the option in that moment to then react and actually block and defend those actions. Mm. So some games you end up having your turn and then they have their turn and you wait and they just kind of slaughter you and pump you and you're like, well, great. This one, every single action has a chance to actually react and do something about it.
There's no downtime. You're always active in the game.
It's quick. In other games like Hearthstone in the past, I found myself waiting a while and not doing much and kind of going, oh, come on. In Runeterra, it is like slick and quick and has some cool mechanics where if certain things are met on the battlefield, the heroes can level up and get stronger, which I quite like as well. It has some really cool mechanics. It's very slick. The artwork is very League. They've done some new artwork for the game as well, specifically with some new characters, so it's not even based just around the existing lore. There's some new lore they're working in there. And you know what? It's got me pretty sucked in. It's kind of cool.
League's one of its strongest point is that its IPs, people love its characters. Its characters are such a huge strength. That's why things like when they do these music videos, people lose it because they've got such a slick art style to their characters that people bond with them. So taking all of these characters and utilizing them in other game modes that maybe people will be able to approach more, League's about to dominate with if they can pull off everything they say they're going to pull off, because this isn't the only thing. They've announced three other games that don't have proper titles yet. You've got Project A, Project L, and Project F. And each of these is a completely different game to anything we've seen from them before.
Different genre altogether.
Exactly. Project A is going to be a tactical hero-based FPS. So it's kind of a mix of Overwatch and Counter-Strike. I will say the art style, I'm hoping they get a little bit further for the characters they're putting into this. I hope it goes a bit more Overwatch and a little less Counter-Strike than it is right now, because it looks a bit flat. But it's early days.
I think what they're avoiding is different character models and different shapes, because that creates different hitboxes and inherent advantages for different characters. And what they really want to be is a tactical kind of squad-based shooter, kind of like Counter-Strike, in that, you know, it's totally different to Overwatch gameplay. If you're doing a headshot, you've got a headshot and that character is dead, right?
Yeah.
And it is that very kind of military tactical shooter.
It's a thing we're seeing in
skills.
It's the things we're seeing in Siege at the moment. Like, that's probably one of the, just to differentiate your characters a little bit more, because Counter-Strike is all about that shooting. There's no ability or character or anything. Mm. But then you've got Project L, which is a fighting game using the League of Legends cast, which looks
Smash
amazing.
Bros. League of Legends.
Well, it's more like Dragon Ball FighterZ, I feel, when
I'm
looking at it.
Oh, well, that's very cool.
It's going to be 2D plane, one versus one.
Yeah.
Looks great. Characters, again, make so much sense for a fighting game. It's stupid. And the last one is an isometric RPG. So it's more of that kind of single player. I think you'll be able to do it with friends. Yeah, the Diablo style. So it's less of a, like, I'm versing other players, which they've played with modes like that in the past, but this is more a focus on that. All of this is just pointing to them taking their IP and spreading it across many genres that they, if they can land on that, they will dominate.
This is very interesting as well, because if you think about League of Legends, it's so character-based. It's not in terms of what people remember anyway. Sure, people play League of Legends for the gameplay.
Well, of course they do, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just being kidding.
She's being a hater.
Yeah, I'm being a hater.
Haters gonna hate
me. We all played League within the last week, so calm down.
So Riot Games is in pretty much a unique situation in which they actually can do this. They can spread their characters across all these different genres, because the context is not the gameplay, it's the characters.
It's also a thing that Nintendo has, where Nintendo can take an IP that you recognize and be like, I like Mario. Like, people like League of Legends characters, and you can be like, now take this League of Legends character and now they're driving a car. And people go, whoa.
I think what impresses me the most about these announcements is that League has shown some pretty good restraint over the last 10 years to not have delved into these genres already. I mean, it's 10 years of this amazing game. They've built this entire franchise, esports. Everyone knows League of Legends. Even if you don't know gaming, you know what League of Legends is. And I think that that's so clever. you know, as a business that they've now been like, okay, we've built this established fan base. You know who we are now. You know our characters. Now here's four new projects that are going to basically expand our horizons completely into other genres and console gamers as well, because what we didn't say yet is that they're going to put League of Legends on consoles and mobile for the first time as well. It's shocking it hasn't been done before with League, but it's going to be on console for the first time. My big barrier to League is I'm not a PC guy. Mm. And so I find, I can't be bothered loading it up. You know, I don't have a PC that I really want to use that much. I'm more of a console person. And now I'm excited because now I can play League on my platform of choice.
Mm. I'm exactly the same as you, Luke. I might actually play these games. I never play original League of Legends just because I don't like competitive games and I don't like just that style of game in general. But these other games, I'll play these. I'll play the heck out of the isometric RPG.
Yeah, and I'm already playing Runeterra more than I've ever played any League in my life. And I just think it's going to keep evolving. And I think, you know, this is obviously, some of these are just projects. There's no names to them yet. So this is going to take, you know, several years for all these games to come out. But it is cool to know that in the background, they've got these teams making these unique projects.
Unlike, you know, some other companies who are just kind of resting on their MOBAs a little bit.
Ooh.
Or their MMOs.
Or their MMOs.
Or their whole IPs, you know.
Yeah.
That's the news of the week. Let's get stuck into what's coming out.
New games are released each week, and sometimes it's hard to keep them straight.
Let's go.
Checkpoint has you covered. Let's sneak a peek at what's coming out.
Yes, let's dive into the games. Kicking off the week, commencing 21st of October. On the 22nd of October, WWE 2K20 coming to PC, PS4 and Xbox One. Your favourite WWE superstars, legends, Hall of Famers and NXT's best will join the festivities and celebrate the rebirth of the WWE 2K franchise. Featuring key gameplay improvements, streamlined controls and the most fun and creatively expansive entry in the franchise to date.
On the 25th of October, Let's Sing comes to Switch and PS4. It's your time to shine, whether you're training your voice solo or celebrating a karaoke party with friends and family. It will be a success with Let's Sing 2019 new game modes and features.
On the same day, Medieval comes to PS4. Step into the bones of Sir Daniel Fortesque, slightly inept and long dead knight, accidentally resurrected by his greatest enemy. With a second chance to foil his greatest foe, Dan will once again set out to save the kingdom of Gallowmere and earn his place as a true hero.
On the same day, Call of Duty Modern Warfare is coming to PC, PS4 and Xbox One, engulfing fans in an incredibly raw, gritty, provocative narrative that brings unrivaled intensity and shines a light on the challenging nature of modern war. Come on, guys. As you take on the role of lethal operators in a heart-racing saga that will affect the global balance of power.
Marketing. And The Outer Worlds also comes out. PC, Xbox One, PS4, and eventually Switch, but not on launch. A brand new spacefaring RPG from the voices behind Fallout New Vegas. Lost in transit while on a colonist ship bound for the furthest edge of the galaxy, you awake decades later, only to find yourself in the midst of a deep conspiracy threatening to destroy the Halcyon Colony.
Right, Halcyon.
That's what's coming out over the next week. It's a pretty big week, you guys.
The big triple A's, but like, they're known quantities. These are all known quantities. Like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, we kind of know what we're going to get for it. I will say, like, come up with a different name. Like, you've already done Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah, you got a bit sassy with that one.
But it's a reboot.
I know, but like,
I think this is why they're going to be successful with this one. I think people love the Modern Warfare brand and they're going to jump back into this one.
Modern Warfare was the one that really made Call of Duty what it is today. That was the one that put them on the map with multiplayer especially. So I'm sure they're trying to tap into that same thing. And it looks good. I mean, I'm not super hyped for it, but it looks good.
I'm excited to try Medieval. Sorry, did I interrupt?
No, you're just like, we'll just move on from that. No more Call of Duty. We're talking Medieval now. Screw the rest of you.
I don't have anything to say about
Call of Duty. She still managed to chime in.
It was a full remake of the original PlayStation game, which I don't really remember playing it when I was younger, so I really know the hype from
this. Did you play it?
No, not at all. That's kind of why I'm excited for it.
No, I've never played it either.
Did anyone play the demo that they had come out?
No.
It's good. It looks beautiful. The original's really good.
Okay.
It'll be...
I'll tell you what I do like about it.
It has some of the old
What
handles.
I do like about it is it's not a full price release. No. It's not going to be releasing at the full, like, $9.95 on RIP. Cool. Like, it's going
to
be, like, half.
I was kind of pretty prepared to pay that because I thought that's what it was going to be.
Well, good
I was
news for you, mate.
Yeah, that is.
yeah, it's going to be a bit cheaper, which is, I think that remakes and stuff like that should sometimes be a bit cheaper because they have released it before.
Yeah.
So, you know, give people a discount to buy it a second time.
Oh, that's a Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Boo. My only hope is that this kind of reinvigorates the series and we get to go in a new area with it.
Yeah. I want to talk WWE 2K20.
We're shocked.
Obviously, I'm the wrestling fan in the room. This one's being dragged online a lot already. Have you guys seen this hate?
No. Oh, no.
So, you love hate, Cam. I know you're like...
You know I pay a lot of attention to wrestling. You know that.
No, but it's getting dragged because what's happened is one of the lead developers who's worked on the game for a long time has stepped back and left it in the hands of the Visual Concepts, I think they're called, who are 2K, who normally do the NBA games and stuff like that. So, anyway, it's left the game in a bit of a state of what's it going to end up being when it comes out. And if you look at the trailers, some of the wrestlers just don't look like the wrestlers they're meant to look like.
They're repurposed NBA players.
Well, not exactly, but if you look at some of the faces, like side by side of the person and the actual in-game representation, it just looks a bit off. Like,
it's a downgrade.
It's a super downgrade. Some the main wrestlers look
good. Because I'm reading here, it's the most fun and creatively expansive entry in the franchise today.
With the idea of what a face is.
No. So we're not talking about the graphics, though. I think it's clear that in this little spiel that they've been provided, they're not talking about the visuals at all, because that's the low point this time around. What they are talking about is some of the fun stuff, and it does have some cool stuff in it. For example, there's a whole horror storyline where you actually play as wrestlers, and one wrestler, for example, is dressed like Shaun from Shaun of the Dead, fighting off like zombies and stuff. And then you have other wrestlers doing some wrestling in, like, you know, cabins in the woods and stuff.
Ooh.
So they've got this
one
weird...
wrestler dies every week mysteriously.
It's like they've kind of like tapped into this creativity a little bit more, and they're going a bit more out there. And wrestling's already kind of out there. Wrestling's crazy, like some weird shit happens in wrestling. And I think that they're kind of going, you know what, let's just dial in heavy into this and see what happens. So even though it might not look great, I think some of the ideas are great, and I'm curious to see how it goes.
Yeah, also releasing is a singing game and The Outer Worlds, which actually looks kind of interesting. Obviously from the creators of Fallout New Vegas, some of that team.
Hyped for this, as I can't wait.
Well, this is an Obsidian game, right? And Obsidian have been purchased by Microsoft, and they might have more funding for titles like this. And obviously Microsoft want to use them to make titles like this. And I'm really interested to see what this will be, because a lot of people are very, very excited for the Outer Worlds. God, I almost made that mistake.
Could both of you have just had a chat before you announced the two games that almost sound identical?
Yeah. The Outer Wilds and The Outer Worlds.
The publishers have actually gone to saying, we are not Out of Worlds on any post where they talk about Outer Wilds now.
That's so confusing.
That's so unfortunate, too. Yeah.
To be fair, that's also Annapurna's, like, very frank direction to publishing.
Mm. Yeah, let's not talk about the fact that there's another checkpoint out there. That's another story.
We usually get sat next to them.
Yeah. But look, The Outer Worlds, it looks amazing. It's a whole first person. It looks very much like a Fallout game. It looks like what Fallout should have been last year. Like, yes, you know, like actual story and NPCs.
I'm a bit concerned Elliot is for this game.
Yeah,
everyone's ready to call this game of the year. I'm like, this is a very small team. They're a shell of what they used to be. Like, Obsidian hasn't made this type of game in ages, and the same staff aren't even on the same project. I think it's going to be a very budget Fallout game, and people are expecting it to be the next Fallout.
Yeah, I
don't know that it will be.
People need to pull back some of their expectations. I will say it looks a lot crisper in the most recent trailer than it has previously in terms of actual animation. But yeah, the actual depth of the game, dial it back, guys. This isn't going to be as big as I think a lot of you think it will.
I'll also say, though, it's playable day one on Xbox Game Pass.
Yes.
So, I mean, you could invest in that and try it out and not have to buy it full price, which I know I'm not saying don't buy the game. But, like, I mean, if you're worried about that, you have these concerns like Elliot has... You basically get to play it for free anyway, so, like, why not, right?
Yeah, Xbox Game Pass or Xbox Game Pass for PC, it'll be on both.
I've already pre-installed it on my console. I'm ready to go. Like, I've downloaded it, and on launch, I'm going to start playing it. I'm hyped, I'm curious, I'm hoping it meets my expectations, but if it doesn't, you know, it's a free play for me, so I'm not too worried.
Yep.
That's what's coming out over the next week. Stay with us on Checkpoint. We're going to tell you some of our highlights from PAX Australia 2019, which we're still recovering from last weekend here on Joy.
Hey, listen.
Want to keep up to date with the latest gaming news, reviews, previews, and more? Check out our website, checkpointgaming.net. That's checkpointgaming.net. Achievement unlocked.
here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9, here with Luke, Elliot, Cam and Edie. And we had a great weekend last weekend, y'all. We were running around PAX Australia. I'm still feeling a bit tired.
I'm very tired.
Yeah.
That was three jam-packed days. Of course, we had the Checkpoint booth up at the Diversity Lounge. Big thank you to Alice and Karma once again for arranging that entire weekend Diversity Lounge, all the activities for us. But, you know, PAX is a great time to play some upcoming games. There's plenty of things there that some are available now, some are coming out next year. There's AAAs, there's indies, there's all kinds of cool stuff. And we wanted to, I guess, take some time to share with you some of our favourites, some of the ones that we felt stood out the most on the show floor. And no surprises, but the majority of them were indie games.
Yeah, I feel like last week on the show, a lot of us dedicated our Fridays to trying out the AAA games because it was a bit quieter.
The lines were smaller.
So if you didn't tune into the show last week, you can check out the podcast on iTunes or Spotify. And we did talk about a lot of the AAA games we played, stuff like Doom Eternal, Luigi's Mansion 3, or Final
Avengers,
Fantasy 7.
Yeah,
but obviously, in the PAX Saturday and Sunday, I mean, personally, I only played indie games. I don't think I queued up for anything those days.
Neither.
I refused. I hate queues.
Oh, just Dance.
That's Saturday queue.
Oh, right,
crazy.
We just Dance.
There was several hour long wait times. Absolutely not.
No. I will say, if you want to have a laugh, head to our social media on Facebook, Checkpoint on Joy 94.9, and you can see me, Cam, and Elliot doing Just Dance to High Hopes from Panic at the Disco with Morla, one of the voice actresses.
Yep, Morla Gorham-Dona
from Destiny 2.
Yes, she's the voice of Eris Morn, and I'll actually have an interview with her and Victoria Dolbum, who is one of the design directors from Bungie, available on the podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, but if you want to see us dancing terribly to Panic at the Disco, then check that out, because, I mean, she was the most impressive because she did the whole thing
in
heels.
Oh, she was phenomenal. She made us look like dweebs.
She could. I have stories from the rest of the day of the things that she did in heels is insane.
You need to take that back.
So much talent. And also Morla was there too. But we have some great games that we talked about. And Moving Marvels is one that I want to start with. We had Marco Matic on our panel on the Sunday. Panel went extremely well, by the way, Cam.
Yes, we had our panel, which is all about queer voices and their importance in the gaming industry, and about being loud and proud and unapologetically queer to an audience. We were joined by Jordan Raskopoulos, as well as DC McCormick, who, again, the big thing is that we found people who are unafraid and are very forward-presenting in both their gender identity and their sexuality. And it was a phenomenal talk. We also have that available on our Facebook. You can watch it.
Yeah, as somebody who wasn't involved in the creation process or like being there on the panel, I was just in the audience watching. It was phenomenal. It was so good, and you should do yourselves a favor and actually watch the video that we've got on our socials. And I know it sounds like me plugging our own content, but it's honestly just worth watching because it's really inspiring and really nice. And there was moments where people were crying. The whole audience was crying because of...
People, that's nice. It was me.
Are you kidding?
No,
everybody around me was like wiping their eyes because of how moving some of the content was on that panel.
Yeah, to
so
be fair,
good.
Middle of tears, I look up to the audience for some stability, and everyone in the audience is crying, and I'm like, oh, good.
It was all the dust in the room, I think.
It was, yeah. But to be fair, I cry a lot on the show, so if you've ever wondered what it looks like in person, now you can see it.
Yeah.
Splotchy.
But Marco Matic was on our panel as well, and their game, Moving Marvels, caught me off guard on the show floor. I have to admit.
Do we call it a game? Does he refer to it as a game?
Well, it's an AR experience, an augmented reality experience. Yep. I don't know if you could call it a game, but what it is, and you need to like see it to believe it.
It's so good.
It's interactive art.
I still think it's magic. Like, I'm like, how did you do this?
It seems a lot like magic when you look at it. You're just thinking, how can this happen?
It looks like it's from Harry Potter.
How'd you do this?
I knew what Mark worked on because I had been talking to him in the lead up to the panel. I had been organizing all that. So I had looked at all of his work. So I knew what it was. And I remember bringing both of you over and being like, just have a look. And I remember handing my phone to you for you to have a look at it, Elliot. And you,
I lost you for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was gone. I was flabbergasted. Yeah. I had no idea what was happening in front of me. I was like taken aback. My mouth was probably wide open.
To explain what this is, essentially what you do is you download the app, which is Moving Marvels, and there are certain artworks that you can interact with this app that basically spring to life and come off the page. And you can get in close, you can change the angle, they're three-dimensional, you can interact with them by tapping on the screen. Like, it's this kind of storytelling in a really interesting way. There's a great one where you can, like, it's all these tram pieces all fly together to create an old tram, and then you watch it go away and you can, like, get up close and you can see the people in the tram. You can you can get angles so you can see into the tram. It's amazing.
If you want to try it out yourself, I will say go to checkpointgaming.net. On our homepage right now, at the very top, we've got a link to Moving Marvels. And you click on that and we've got some of the images in the article. So you can actually download the app and hold your phone up to your PC screen.
Free app.
Hold it up to the PC screen on that Checkpoint article and you can actually see what we're talking about, because it is mind-blowing. And I can't stop thinking about it because I don't know how he does it. And it just completely freaks me out.
It's amazing. Time, talent, and effort.
I don't have those things.
I also love... So his art style is so interesting. It's this lovely blend between Sean Tan and Ghibli.
Which is very picture book, like fantasy, urban fantasy style.
He was telling me about someone who had walked up and described it. The best way they described it was ballroom steampunk. It's that steampunk without that edginess. It's like it's steampunk in the daylight.
It's just nice.
The fun side of it. Think like Howl's Moving Castle, that kind of steampunk. And it's beautiful. He did the pin for the Melbourne International Games Week, which would come alive. His business card and his t-shirt would like open up and there was like a moving thing inside of him.
Brilliant.
It's so good. And he's doing heaps of stuff with the Melbourne government to do stuff coming up. He has so many things to do in installations, all this stuff.
Yeah.
He's
going
phenomenal.
Somewhere.
I think on top of that as well, I think the fact that he's thinking of ways to incorporate this, like maybe having a storybook that you can get and then you can use the app with that storybook.
It'd be perfect for that. I mean, it'd be such an amazing thing for a kid's picture book.
Yep.
Because, I mean, I remember, like, the Living Book series of games. They came on little CDs. I can't remember who made them.
Yeah.
But I would just remember plugging them into my old PC and then just playing Grandma and Me, which is a game where you go to the beach with your grandma and you just click on stuff.
I remember those. Yes, I remember those.
Yeah.
Do you remember the bear that used to, you'd put the CD in and the bear would read you the book? It's these kind of...
That was a sexual awakening.
Whoa.
Stop.
These interactive storybooks make so much sense, and I think he would absolutely kill if he did that.
I think a Moving Marvels book would make a pop-up book look like garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute garbage Kick by it comparison.
It's this beautiful...
Except for the Babadook, that still stands out.
Oh, my God. it's this beautiful thing that he's doing where he's bringing kind of an older art style and bringing it to a modern age and finding an intersection between traditional and modern art. And I just think he's so a finger on the pulse, and I'm so excited about to see where he goes with this, because it's stunning. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely a standout on PAX. So Moving Marvels, check it out and go to the Checkpoint website to see what it actually looks like in motion, because it is amazing. I was even showing Edie before the show. I was like, check this out.
Because I missed it, unfortunately. There always seemed to be a crowd around it. Now I know exactly why, and I know why people would stay there for so damn long.
I took so many people there and was just like, come over here and look at this.
Alrighty. Quick shout out. Another one that stood out on the show floor was Metalheads, and this is one I didn't expect to be as fun as it was.
Really fun game.
8-player party game, kind of like what Mario Party should be.
Kind of like, do you remember like the Crash Bash?
No.
Okay, so Crash Bash was their attempt at Mario Party, and it was more that kind of like, you didn't have the board game. It was that fast paced, just go from mini game to another. Crazy. And that was the big thing. This is all about the speed of the mini game. You were burning through them.
But they were so well implemented and well thought out. I mean, that's why I told you, Luke. I'm like, this game makes the mini games in Mario Party look like nothing in comparison. These are just better than any single Mario Party mini game that's ever existed.
I think it was also so interesting to see the fact that different games played to different strengths. So there was like, if there was like a running one where you couldn't stop running, I kept winning those, but then like you guys kept winning different ones that were specific for your skills as well.
There's some like dodging obstacles like lasers and stuff. Yeah. There was some that was like jumping and platforming type ones. There was some where you had to knock people off the edge of things.
Yeah.
They were always quick and easy to learn and pick up and different, and they just kept coming. And I was genuinely surprised, like, we played it for about, I don't know, 20 minutes. And we didn't get a repeating game.
No, we didn't see all the games yet. It was so cool. You had to pull me away from it. I was like, no, I want to stay.
He had 16 games on the show floor. We never saw a repeat. But then apparently he's going to aim for 30 at launch.
Goal, yeah.
Like, that's insane. And it's so much fun.
Yeah, one-man team from New South Wales working on this one.
So good.
Yeah, Metalheads, give it an add to your Steam wish list. Check out the article for some video and images of that one on checkpointgaming.net. Got some more PAX highlights to throw at you soon here on Checkpoint on Joy.
Let's get to it already.
Looking for some more awesome Checkpoint goodness? We have a huge range of podcasts available to listen to on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you enjoy premium podcasts. All our previous shows and exclusive content is available. You can even listen to us while you game. Just search for Checkpoint on Joy 94.9 and download new episodes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Here on Checkpoint on Joy, subscribe to our podcast. Yes, we are now also on Spotify, so make sure you check us out on there if that's your preferred platform. Here on Joy with Luke, Elliot, Cam and Edie. And we're talking about our PAX highlights. And we've talked about moving Marvels and Metalheads. Next up, I want to talk about a little game called The Drifter. Now, this is one that you might not have even seen on the show floor. It was hidden away at Powerhoof Development Studio. They had it sitting there on a Switch. And it wasn't on a big screen. It wasn't easy to find. I didn't even know about it until Elliot, another developer, said to us, oh my God, there's this game over there called The Drifter.
I heard a lot of people who like pointed me in the direction of Powerhoof. Apparently, they're doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah. So The Drifter is this pulpy adventure thriller, basically. And essentially, it's kind of like point-and-click style of game, sort of like Monkey Island type thing in a way. It's set in this very 70s kind of aesthetic. It has this really interesting dark story, and it's this kind of cool pixelated graphics, but also very detailed art style as well. It's very hard to explain. I'm going to do an article about it on checkpointgaming.net so you can see what I'm talking about. But essentially, you're on this train going to an event, and then while you're on the train, all of a sudden, someone who you're on the train with, the door opens, and they're shot to death in front of you. And then you end up trying to escape that situation and find yourself in this weird kind of pulpy thriller story where you're trying to do things like, the car won't start. Okay, how do we get it started? You need to find the keys. Who has those? You're having these conversations, and the thing that struck me most about this game is that the soundtrack was so cool. Elliot, I gave you a quick preview when I was playing. I was like, listen to this.
Yeah.
And even the voice acting is so strong and intense and good. It's this like really authentic Aussie accents when you're playing it. It just sounds amazing. And it's one to keep an eye out for. The developers at Powerhoof told me it is going to be at least a year or two from release, but they have developed it on the Switch at this stage. The Drifter is going to be a game that we're talking about coming out of Melbourne in the future. I guarantee you that.
Murder mystery set on trains. I don't know what it is, but it's
was that sarcasm?
So cool.
Or?
No, okay, not legitimately. It's like
it's just such a small little
niche. But murder on the insert adjective here express.
Yeah. And I was totally hooked after I played it. I was like, I sat there for half an hour playing this demo, and I was like, people wanted to play, they were behind me. I was like, I don't care, you wait. Like, I'm enjoying this so much, I'm not getting up till I finish it. It was really, really cool, really unique puzzle mechanics. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, because Elliot, the thing about murder on the train is that it's so, you're all stuck there because the train can't stop.
It's like
stop.
Snakes on a plane.
The train's can't.
So well, you love Orient Express though. You're like, yeah, that's your favourite movie ever.
Actually, I haven't actually seen it, but
literally, Elliot, what was one of your
big
highlights?
That is not the only murder mystery that's happened on a train.
We don't have time for this, Edie.
Okay.
Semantics. Lightning round.
I think one of my favourite things, other than some of the stuff we've already talked about, would have to be Fall Guys. Now, Fall Guys was a kind of quite a big space, actually. Very colourful area, and it drew quite a big crowd. Luke, you and I went and played Fall Guys together.
We did.
And what Fall Guys is, for those unaware, it's this big, it's once again a set of mini games, but in Fall Guys it's kind of 100 players, and each mini game will kind of knock people out of the competition. And it's very much a game show in the you know, form of Takeshi's Castle or Total Wipeout. And yeah, so you're playing all these kind of mini games reminiscent from those kind of TV shows, and you're kind of being whittled down one by one and going down to the end until there's only one person who won. Luke, that happened to be you
it
in the game we
to
played.
Be me. That's right.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was so fun. And, you know, literally we're talking about Takeshi's Castle, one of my favourite games as a kid, was when they had all the different doors in a line and people had to run to the doors and they might go through them or they might just bounce off because it's just like wood. You know, I used to love that as a kid. And this is the first game, the mini game that you play in Fall Guys, trying to get through those doors. So instantly I was like, I am in, I am a fan. And all the games were just chaotic and fun and silly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love the whole starts with 100, ends up with one winner. I love that style. It's like a new take on the Battle Royale genre.
And it was very well implemented. I'll say it felt very good, very polished. I talked to Joe Walsh, who was the lead designer for the game. We're actually going to podcast that interview as well eventually, so you know, subscribe to make sure you listen to that. But yeah, he was great. He told me they're planning to do 20 to 30 mini games at launch, so even though we only saw 5, it'll be completely randomized. You don't know what you're going to get into when you're playing the game, but like, you know, months and years after release they're going to keep doing it, and he wants 100 to 200 games kind of at any given point, so that people can't be pros at it. They can't have figured out the best way to win, because there'll be new stuff coming out kind of at the drop of a hat and people won't know, oh, this is new, I'm going to have to learn and adapt on the fly. And it's got this kind of competitive spirit, but not this kind of stressful competitive. It's that kind of, you know, fun-loving competitive.
You can't min-max.
No.
I was pretty stressed in that final round.
I liked it.
I loved it, though.
Sure.
But like, there's no meta to it. It's about the craziness.
Correct.
That's part of the point.
If you lose, you're not going to be like salty. You're like, oh, well.
You just join in.
Try
the game.
Again. Yeah. Yeah. A bit of fun.
I reckon it'll blow up on streaming.
I think so, too. Fall Guys really is one that I'm keeping a big eye on now, that's for sure. Edie, what about you? What would be one of your big highlights of PAX?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I thought I played a bunch of the indie games, but I've missed almost all the ones that you're talking about.
Well, so many great ones that
that's
from.
True. The ones that drew my attention the most are actually the point and click ones, because that's a style of game that I am a huge fan of.
I love the Drifter Edie.
Yeah, but I missed that one, so I'm really upset. The two that drew my eyes specifically, and I had to remind myself of the name of one of them, because it is the Vigilante Proclivities of the Longspur.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a hard name to wrap your head around. We just started calling it Longspur.
Longspur, yeah, gotcha.
Show me the spelling.
There you go. I don't think it's is it a real word? I've not heard it. Regardless,
tell us about it.
It's in the style of a classic LucasArts game. So think classic Monkey Island, and it is in a world with superheroes and vigilantes. And the demo had you playing as just a superhero foiling the plan of one of his Tuesday villains. You know, it's OU back at it again.
One of the rogues gallery.
Yeah, exactly. And it was pretty much a perfect emulation of that classic style of games that I'm so fond of. It had, you know, just the right amount of dry humor. It had some pretty hard puzzles. I did get through it, and he say that I was one of the fastest he'd seen. So,
ooh, well done.
There you go.
He said that to me too, and I didn't even play the game.
He was talking about your sex life.
That's periodically wrong.
But my favorite pick of them actually has to be the Rewinder, it's called. It's a similar but not quite classic style. It's a 2D side scroller where you're still picking up objects and interacting with things, but the pixel art style is absolutely gorgeous. It's based on Chinese mythology and folklore, and you play as like this mysterious spiritual agent from the underworld, and you have to find out what happened to this abandoned Chinese village way up in the mountains. It's pretty creepy.
It's a horror game, right? And you don't normally like horror, and so I think it's interesting that you actually quite engaged with this.
Well, yeah, this is the thing with me, is that I like horror very much in theory, but I'm very bad with the, shall we say, the particulars? So, like, blood and guts and...
You like a spooky narrative.
Yeah.
A feel of unease.
I really love a spooky narrative, but I get scared way too easily. Yeah, so a pixel game is honestly the best one kind for me, because it's too pixelated to you to show like a lot of detail.
And then if you really want to make it really bloody in pixels, you're just going to go so big that you can't take it seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Elliot, your time for one more of your highlights. Go.
One more?
I had a couple down. Pick one.
Ring of Pain was really cool. Ring Obviously, we talked to Simon on the show a couple or a few weeks back.
Yeah.
It was really good to see that game in action, though. This is the card game with also horror elements. A lot of
terrifying
rhyming.
It's twisted.
Oh, my God. It's so twisted.
It's so
Some of the
gross.
Artwork is awful, like haunting stuff.
Oh, it's beautiful though as well.
Yeah.
You know what? Brie hated the chicken. She told me specifically.
It's an owl. We just got it because I was like, the chicken with hands is haunting me because I had to do all the artwork when they were coming on the show and I kept seeing that face. It's the face they put everywhere. It's terrifying. Yeah. Hello, it's an owl.
Okay, it's an owl. But
I got a pin with that on it too, which I'm super happy. Just the owl head. It's awful.
Because he comes out and he's like, let me help you. And you're like, no, don't come near me. And then you have to like, you actually have to talk to him, not fight him. And you're like, I just want to hit you with a sword, but I'm supposed to have a conversation with you. And this is making me so uncomfortable.
So creepy.
It's very, very, it's very affecting.
Yeah. It's a fun little game though. I played it a couple of times in my session because I didn't do well the first time, which is fine, but I learned from my mistakes.
Yeah.
It's that roguelike type thing where you get these random cards, you can choose directions, you got to fight little enemies and stuff, get potions, get your health back, and then move on to the next area. And the cards kind of spin into shot, and you got to look at the artwork and then make a decision as to what you do. But yeah, honestly, the atmosphere they've created for a game that's based on images on cards is so impressive.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Absolutely, you know, it really brings in full circle because we did have them on the show talking about, you know, the soundtrack as well and the visuals and the way the game is put together. See it all come into practice. It's one of the creepiest games on the show floor at PAX.
Yeah.
You know, that last boss that you fight in that demo that we played was disgusting.
Yeah, it made you feel uneasy the whole time.
He's talking about meat and he's like, lie down, I've prepared the ground for you, meat. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's just
Elliot thought that he wasn't good enough to beat that boss. He didn't realize it was a deliberate, like, loss.
Yeah. Too tough.
So he felt real bad.
Aww. So one hits you, though. Yeah. How could you feel bad about that?
He thought he just wasn't prepared for the fight.
Yeah. I thought you could win.
Too bad. Yeah. But look, Ring of Pain, it was a standout on the show floor. It was great to see it in action. It's one to keep an eye on next year as well. There were so many games we didn't get a chance to talk about on the show today. Broken Roads, a game, isometric RPG with lots of conversational moral choices set in WA, Australia, in a post-apocalyptic. Very, very cool style. Keen on that one.
Yeah, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Unpacking as well. Cam, I think you need to check this out. It reminded me a lot of Florence in the fact that it was just those set pieces and those moments of your life and how it's unraveling, and it's all about the act of moving out and moving in.
I keep thinking Unpacking is that one, Moving Out, that's also coming out soon, which is like
different game.
Overcooked, but moving.
Yeah.
Lots of packing though. And a shout out to Kana Quest as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This one's a really cool little, another pixelated game actually, so you know what kind of games draw my eye.
Yep.
But it actually is a cute little mix between Dominoes and a Match 3 game where it teaches you to read Japanese as you play.
Yeah, and like reading Japanese is such a hard language to look at and read, especially starting out. So this is a chance where you can actually learn through puzzle the different symbols and what they mean.
Yeah.
So clever.
It's not going to make you fluent in Japanese. It's purely to allow you to help you remember which character is what.
It's something
sound.
You do alongside
exactly.
Classes.
And the developer, they spend a lot of time in Japan, and this is going to help you navigate the streets of Tokyo when you go on your video game binges over there. You might recognize some of the symbols that might help you out, but Kana Quest coming out next year, and again, a cool spin on educating through video games. That is all the time we have for today. It's
lightning
been a quick
round.
One.
We did it.
I know, we did it, you guys. Elliot, thank you.
Thank you, Luke.
Cam, thank you.
Thank you.
Edie, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, she changed.
She paused.
Did you slow it down?
Now I'm really scared. I'm back to next week, our regular scheduled programming. 2 hours of Checkpoint, never fear. We are back to our regular programming, 2 till 4. We're going to have a fun show in store for you.
He's going to languish and just say words really long next week because we have all that time.
So shut up, Cam, we have to time. Go.
Sure, you subscribe to our podcast to hear all our past episodes. Checkpoint on Joy 94.9, and we'll catch you at the next checkpoint.
All the time. Work, 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 Sonora, work your body line. Work, 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 Sonora, work it all the time. My girl's name is Sonora. I tell you, friends, I adore her.
And when she dances, oh brother, she's a hurricane in all kinds of weather. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Whoop! Shake, 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 Sinora, shake your body line. Whoop! Shake, 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 Sinora, shake it all the time. Whoop! Sinora, work your body line. Work, 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 Sinora, work it all the time. You can talk about cha-cha, tango, waltz, or the rumba. Sinora's dance has no title. You jump in the saddle, hold on to the bridle. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body. Rock your body, child. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Somebody help me. Jump in the line, rock your body in time. Whoop! Shake, 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 Sinora, shake your body line. Shake, 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 Sinora, shake it all the time. Whoop! Work, 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 Sinora, work your body line. Yep. Work, 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 Sinora, work it all the time. Sinora, she's a sensation, the reason for aviation. And fellas, you got to watch it.
You've been listening to a Joycast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.